assuming that you would want the same things applying basically in juvenile court proceedings as you would in civil proceedings?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yes.
That's the question I wanted answered. Thank you.
And then I believe that there are just a few other sort of technical matters, one of which is to define the timing of the hearing, which
Mr. Gordon,
is not done in statute.
I'm going to stop you there with your four main proposals.
Okay.
The reason I'm going to do that is because of the time element that we're looking at today.
Okay.
I want to make sure we get a chance to work through at least those four major proposals that you've brought us, and then if we need to come back and revisit those other issues, we can do that.
Well, actually, we only got the three of them, and the fourth one is to amend Section 24 to be consistent with Maryland versus Gates, which allows the exclusion of a perpetrator in videotape testimony. And that's a federal constitutional standard. But
that's number three in your other problems.
Mr. Chairman, could we ask him very briefly to outline and reference his amendments? Which is just like 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'll tell you, could I do that in writing and get that back to you? It would be a little easier.
Well, here's what, we're ready to move on the bill today.
Okay.
That's the urgency that you're sensitive to.
What I'm asking you to do is a little trick. If you will briefly outline and reference your amendment.
I think counsel is going to be able to do that for us.
Yeah, if you can outline and reference it.
And hold on, let me ask you, are there any other screaming questions for Mr. Gardner? If not, we're going to ask you to stick around.
Okay.
My issue, Mr. Chair, and I've mentioned it to Mr. Gardner, and I still feel uncomfortable about it, is the way the lower standard for admission of hearsay evidence in the dependency case dovetails into the capacity then that the prosecutor has to sort of piggyback the charge in the criminal case on the evidence that is heard in the civil case.
It would be my understanding that, let's say, for instance, we proceeded with the juvenile case first, which is generally unlikely because that could result in res judicata and the inability to then proceed with the criminal case. But if we were, the fact that it were admissible there doesn't overcome the constitutional barriers to admissibility in the criminal case and doesn't eradicate the constitution, doesn't in any way change the barriers for admissibility there. So we're in a situation, I don't think that opening the gates in one to one area, open the gates in the other, and I don't see a way that that could happen. I guess maybe it could happen in a sense of like the rumor got around the courthouse sort of thing, but once again, I don't see that as a real serious problem, and I understand you're concerned with it. But,
okay. Thank you. All right, we are in work session. Counsel. You made amazing promises of what you could do here for us in terms of outlining the proposed amendments.
Can I start with the easiest one first?
Summarizing, yes.
Page 3, line 44, there are -1 amendments that do this. Regardless of what happens, that has to be broadened to include juvenile, civil, and criminal cases. The word juvenile has to be added because they are not considered civil proceedings, and your -1 amendments do that.
All right. One comment I should make. I mentioned to the committee there was one other individual who wants to testify. That individual is from the Department of Justice, and my understanding is that we've taken care of the concerns.
My statement, I think, just took care of her concerns.
All right. The chair would move that amendment, inserting the word juvenile on page 3, line 44 of the bill. Is there objection to that amendment? Hearing none, so ordered. Number 2, counsel.
Starting, I think, on the top of page 3, line 2, a statement made by a child victim, which statement concerns relative acts of sexual conduct, would be the beginning of that paragraph, which is not excluded, blah, blah, blah.
All right. The chair moves the deletion of the word describes and insertion of the word concerns on page 3, line 2. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
You want to deal with the age, or you want to pass over at the time for the moment?
Wasn't there a conforming change somewhere?
Same one down. You got one down below too.
Line 10.
Oh, opportunity of participation. I think is what they
wanted. Opportunity to participate.
Opportunity to participate.
Okay, Representative Sanceri moves the deletion of the word participation in line 10 and insertion of the word opportunity to participate. Is there further discussion? Opposition? So ordered.
And then the next one I'm going to do conceptually. For kids who are No. For criminal proceedings, the evidence is to be presented in criminal proceedings, then all of the, everything that exists currently would continue to exist. For non-criminal proceedings, statements made by any aged child could be admitted so long as the child was subject to cross-examination. Am I right? Is that right?
Right. That's the proposed conceptual amendment. And Council, just out of curiosity, where would that go in the bill, or would it just be tacked on the end?
I think that the way to do it is restructure subsection B and say have a paragraph for criminal. I think that somewhere in the middle, when you talk about unavailable for civil proceedings, unavailable for criminal proceedings.
Okay. All right, so we go somewhere in subsection B.
You have parallel systems, okay. One for civil, one for criminal.
All right.
And then I think the issue of age has to be added in.
All right. The proposed amendment then is to open the door, if that's the right word, in the non-criminal context, as Mr. Gardner has outlined in his memorandum.
If the child is available and issues of reliability, as outlined here, would not have to be followed. If the child is unavailable, as the bill defines it, then it would still have to be used.
All right. I want to make real sure that the subcommittee is clear on that proposed conceptual amendment.
We're not changing the definition of unreliability. We're not changing the definition of unavailable, and we're not changing the definitions or the tests for reliability or indicia of reliability.
But we are saying that in the non-criminal context, the statement comes in regardless of the other indicia of reliability, so long as the child's available
to testify. If the child is available. If the child is not available, I think then the indicia of reliability test would have to be followed.
All right. Is there a motion? Representative Bell moves the conceptual amendment to allow the statement to come in a non-criminal context when the child is available, regardless of other indicia of reliability. Is there further discussion?
Representative Parks. I just want to state for the record that because I was gone, I'm not really tracking on all this. I want you to go ahead. I'm going to vote no because I'm not comfortable voting affirmative, but you have enough people to get it through.
Representative Bauman or Mason, do either of you have comments or concerns about that? All right. Is there...
Chair, Representative Sasseri. I want to say that I'm not comfortable with this at this point, and I'm going to vote no. And if I can resolve my concerns, then I'm certainly willing to vote yes in full committee, but that's where I am.
Maybe, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Representative Bauman.
I would feel more comfortable addressing Representative Parks and Representative Sanseri's concerns in moving ahead than moving ahead without addressing them.
Okay, let's do this. Again, I'm reminded of Representative Courtney's admonition that you can't run the Family Justice Committee by the clock. I sense and share a bit of discomfort about that proposed amendment. Council.
Well, I guess what I would like to do is finish the discussion, and then I also want to get some direction from the committee in terms of age, and then what I can do is draft them.
Let's do this, Council. Would you draft what the conceptual amendment would be? Okay, we're not going to be able to finish the bill today, so let's
be
realistic.
And we also need Mr. Gardner to come back at that point because he keeps driving over here, and I don't want him to have to come back unless he wants to.
Right. So would you draft the conceptual amendment so that we can look at it next
as
time we come back?
That's what we've gone so far. Okay,
right.
I need some direction about age.
Okay.
You want it in or out, and you want it criminal or non-criminal, or you want all of the options.
All of the options,
two
please.
Two from column A and two from column B.
There you go.
Got it.
All right, next proposal.
I think that's it. That's a lot of proposals.
I don't think that we...
We have concerns, we have opportunity to participate, we have juvenile proceedings, we have bifurcated civil and criminal, and I think the only other issue is whether or not the age limitation is removed.
All right. Now, having done
correct?
That, Mr. Gardner, could you come back up, please? That's fine.
There was a concern about what standard for admissibility in the juvenile hearings as opposed to the criminal hearings, and I'm not sure if the way you addressed that, Ms. Robinson, included that or not. Actually, this is a very complex area.
Yeah, let's do this. You've given us your four major proposals. I'm going to ask you to work with counsel so that next time this bill is back up for work session, we've got -1, -2, -3, -4, -5, -6 amendments that we can handle one at a time. And while we're here and while we have you here, you had some other suggestions that you called problems and not proposals, and I'm going to ask you to go through those quickly for the committee's benefit so that we at least get exposed to those. And again, I apologize to the committee and the witnesses that we won't be able to get the bill out today.
They're outlined
next page.
Okay.
Which would be sufficient.
Okay. Okay, you started to tell us about timing of the hearing.
Oh, okay. I guess that's not sufficient. the bill doesn't define the time for the hearing, and what I would propose is that the bill says that the hearing on admissibility of this evidence occur immediately prior to the commencement of trial. The reason for that is that if it occurs, say, during trial from the state's perspective, we stand in the position of having put a defendant at jeopardy and then finding out in the middle of trial we can't get our evidence in, he gets acquitted, and we're out of luck. Obviously, that's not acceptable. So what I would suggest is the other reason is you can't have it too far in advance of the hearing because competency with young children changes. These are kids that are learning a vocabulary 100 words a day. And so they may be incompetent one month, incompetent the next month, say in terms of taking an oath. So you've really got to determine competency right at the time of trial if that's the issue. So I would suggest that the bill define that the hearing on admissibility of the evidence occur immediately prior to the commencement of the trial and that a negative ruling for the state be an appealable order, just as a motion to suppress would be an appeal order, because that basically forecloses the state from going forward, and the state should be allowed to appeal that without going ahead and going to trial.
Counsel will ask you to draft that as well. Mm-hmm. And then you already raised the question of whether or not the perpetrator who is a parent should be present during the competency hearing.
That's Section 20.
Right.
Right.
That's a Section 24 issue.
Right.
Well, and there's also an issue in the statute. It provides for a competency hearing to occur in chambers, and so the issue is can that happen without the perpetrator being present? The language of the statute seems to provide for that, but it's kind of ambiguous right now, and I just think we should clear it up one way or the other, right? Okay.
All right. Counsel, we'll ask you to work with Mr. Gardner in drafting up all of those proposed amendments.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative
Would it be possible to have those delivered to our office so we can look at them before we come, and then we can move quickly, hopefully, through them?
We'll ask to do that, Council. And
I don't know when it's scheduled.
Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
No, I think...
we have a busy day Monday.
But yeah, I suspect that it'll be, 10 days before this bill's back up? A week?
Oh, not even.
Not even
I
that.
I hope to bring it back next Wednesday.
All right.
Okay. So if we could have it by the time we go home on Tuesday night.
No, you'll probably actually have it Monday morning. I was being facetious, but you probably
okay.
will.
All right, we will revisit House Bill 2395 next Wednesday. Appreciate your testimony very much, Mr. Gardner. We appreciate you coming over.
Thank you very much. And I was already planning to work on Saturday, and I'll give you my office number. So.
I don't know. The gentleman lives in Bend, and he's working on Saturday. That
There's no snow.
Makes me question his judgment.
Work on Sundays, there isn't much snow.
All right, committee. Let's cut it off there for today. Let me tell you though that at the rate that we are getting bills referred to us, and I think the legitimate pace with which we're working through the bills, or those are two separate paces, and so I want the committee to consider the possibility of picking a weekday evening sometime in the next month, which we would devote exclusively to doing as much work on the task force bills as we could. I'm afraid if we don't do that now, we're going to end up having to do it later, and I would prefer to give you as much notice as possible of that.
Can I modify that?
Council.
We have more than task force bills that are going to take some time blocks.
We what?
We have more than task force bills that are going to
take time. No, I understand that. But my point is the backlog is continuing, and the committee is doing very good work. I appreciate very much the diligence. Representative Mason.
Yeah, just... Mr. Chair, two little pieces of perspective. First of all, you're going to start to run into other evening committees, LRO, or let's say rules, is starting to next week kick into almost all evening meetings every night next week. And secondly, just let me say, and this is, you know, is just the perspective you get after having been down this road a few times. It's not necessary to hear every bill, and although, as you sometimes might want to hear every bill, and I think that it's you and Representative Miller and Representative Baum have done just a superb job of chairing the committees. Some of us who've been around for a while will not be insulted if you don't hear every bill, and will not howl. Now there'll be people out there that will howl because you won't hear their bill, but it won't be some of us. At one time, and this was in a prior session, I don't know when we stopped it, we literally had a automatic table date. I don't know why we don't have that rule anymore, but we literally had a fail-safe date at which a certain date things were automatically tabled. Was not a bad rule, but I think you're doing very well, and I think the committee's doing very well, and these are not easy issues.
Yeah, appreciate
and
that.
So feel good
very much.
It.
And I understand that we're not going to be able to hear all the bills that come to the sub. There are I have made a commitment that we would at least hear the majority of the bills from the task force.
You've got your priorities right.
And we really want to move through those.
Mr. Chair?
Let me bring Representative Mannix up to speed. We were not able to get through the bill in full today. I've asked council to draft up some of the proposed amendments that Mr. Gardner brought us so that we can kind of work on them one by one. We did adopt a few, and we got bogged down on a few, so we're going to bring the bill back. And we're talking about workload issues now and possibly having to work one evening sometime in the next several weeks. Councilman and then Representative Sanceri.
As the person in charge of tentative scheduling, is there a night between Mondays and Wednesdays that tends? I mean, if we're going to start at 3, let me backtrack. Due to the workload of the entire committee, the offer that was made to us to have all afternoons on Wednesdays was revoked about a week after it was given to us because their workload has also gotten so high. If this committee is going to continue working for a block of time, I would guess it's going to be Mondays or Wednesday nights.
I'm going to ask council to poll the members in writing so that we don't get bogged down trying to match schedule up right now. Representative Sanceri.
Well, I just want to say in reference to our time schedule and stuff, I think that some of the bills that have come before us have been self-evident that they could go very quickly. But I hope that we'll want to extend our work time rather than cut off some of the discussions that I think they're very important, and maybe I'm speaking from a non-attorney perspective, but I really appreciate the extra time that we have to discuss this.
Yeah, we'll take as much time as we need to understand what's in front of us. All right, we want to thank the witnesses for testifying. Thank the committee for a good day's work. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
I think Friday.